Good morning. What a blessed time this morning. Amen. Great to have those children here helping us, singing with us today, leading us in worship and sharing the good news. Glad to have each one of you with us today. I could and originally had just planned on doing just something real quick, real brief. But since we are entering this Bible study, I do want to share a little bit about Return to Me. I was talking with emailing with Kay, our church secretary and administrative assistant this week, and I said, I'm going to try to keep it under 45 minutes, so I'll try to do that for you today. I don't go 45 minutes normally, so those of you who just got scared, don't worry about that. Okay. Children did a great job, just a super job this morning. We really appreciate what they did and appreciate all the hard work that's gone in, the parents bringing them for all the rehearsals. The leaders that have worked with them over the weeks to get and months to get this ready, and just a great proclamation of Scripture. And so I'm very grateful for that. We are studying Return to Me, and this tonight, many of you will be in your small groups for the very first time. And I encourage you, if you have not picked up a book, not signed up even maybe for this, that you would do that before you leave here today. Find out where those groups are at, and we'll be around to help you with that. But also, if you're a guest, I want to invite you to join us. We're going through a study, just getting ready to start it tonight. As I said, we've been reading through it this week, the first week. It's called Return to Me. And I'm excited about this and about what God can do and all the people that have signed up for it. And members or guests, if you have not, please make sure that you make plans today. Like I said, we've got groups meeting on Sunday, on Monday. We've got one on Tuesday night that they may switch after next week, but to a different night. And then we can help find a group for you. And guests, if you would like to participate, just see Kay. Kay is in the very back. She's a white-headed lady. I was going to have her stand up, and I thought, I don't know if I should have her stand up. I'll just call her a white-headed lady back there. But guests, if you would like to participate, Kay will be back there at the back with me at the end of the service, and she can get you a book if you wanted that, and I will be sure that you get that so that you can join us in that study. Let me speak to the leaders for just a moment, all the small groups, small group leaders. A couple of things for you. There's a session at the end of each week. There's a session one and how to lead that session. You don't have to follow that word for word. Your main thing here, I want you to understand, your main purpose as a leader is not to be a, what's the word I was looking for? I had it this morning, but now I lost it. But you don't want to. We don't want you to just talk. You're there to facilitate and lead a discovery learning experience in your group. In other words, every person in the group, if you're in that group, whatever group you're in, people, you need to come prepared to talk about what God shared with you in here, because our leaders are going to be asking questions. Here's what this says at the bottom of page two or day two. How did you respond to that? How did you feel God speaking to you with that? And so everyone needs to be able to participate. And I'll give you permission, if you're in a group, if your leader is speaking more than anyone else in the group, you come and tell me. No, they're facilitators. They're there to help guide the conversation, to lead that conversation, to help you to discover. And you need to be here and be in one of those groups, because you're going to be an encourager, and you'll learn more if you're studying by yourself, and then if you come prepare to discuss and listen to other people, because you'll be able to give input into the lives of others, and you'll be an encouragement to those as you speak, as well as when you listen to what they're sharing. One of the main verses, or the main verse you might say from this study, is Malachi chapter 3 verse 7, and it is the first verse that they've asked us to commit to memory this week as we studied. And it says, since the days of your fathers, you have turned away from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of armies. Now, day two in this week, in this past week's study, day two and the week one of study, the author had us to look at Jeremiah chapter 2. And the prophet Jeremiah records in the book named after him in the Bible of his experience with God addressing the Israelites, the Israelite nation. And some of the things that you saw, witnessed here. Those were some of the Israelite children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. They would not bow to the king. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't give honor to the king, but they would not worship the king in their own respective time that they ended up suffering for God, or going, being put to the test for God, you might say. But in verse 2 of that chapter, we see something. The Israelites had turned their back on God. And Jeremiah tells of the heartbreak of God over his people's departure or their disobedience. In verse 2, it says, "Thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown." You see, folks, Israel was once like a new bride. And God poured out on her lavishly as a good young husband would to his bride, until she turned her back on him. And Jeremiah shares several ways that they had walked away from God. In verses 11 through 13, he says, "My people have exchanged their glory for useless idols. Be appalled at this, heavens. Be shocked and utterly desolated. This is the Lord's declaration. For my people have committed a double evil. They have abandoned me, God, and the fountain of living water, and they have dug cisterns or wells for themselves, cracked cisterns that cannot hold water." You see, Israel was blessed by God. The nation of Israel was blessed by God. He poured out on them just as a young, proud husband pours out on his bride, giving her all that he can afford. And God could afford the whole world. It's his, right? He could have afforded the whole world. He was pouring out on his bride. They had the glory of Almighty God. And what did they do? They exchanged, he said, they exchanged the God of all creation for worthless idols. And God uses the illustration of the fountain of living water. He is the fountain of living water versus digging dry wells, holes in the ground that cannot produce water. And when we look at the New Testament in John chapter 4, we see Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at a well, and he says, "Everyone who drinks of the water that I give will never thirst again." You see, Jesus is speaking of this same living water that God is having Jeremiah speak about in the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Folks, if you had the very source of the absolute best water in the entire world, what would you do with it? Would you abandon that and dig a hole in the ground that couldn't hold water even if it had water in it? You see, we would look and maybe even scratch our heads at that, wouldn't we? We'd scratch our heads that they would do. They would abandon the living water, dig holes that couldn't hold water. We would scratch our head, and yet we are just as guilty as the Israelites were. We're just as guilty of the same act. Now, we might not adopt the same idols that they worshiped, but we worship the idols of comfort. We worship the idols of money and prosperity. We worship the idols of pleasure and personal preference. It's more about me than God. And like we talked about last week, in North America, we have created our own God. We've created a God of pleasure and of comfort and of our personal preference. Israel, God's bride, not only walked away from God, God says they did more, and I'm not going to read more of that chapter. I had planned to do that, but I'm not going to this morning. But I want us to understand that when we read God's Word, when we read God's Word with an unadulterated heart, without our selfish bias, it is easy to see that this Scripture of Jeremiah, Malachi, all this Old Testament Scripture, as well as the New Testament Scripture, when we read God's Word with an unadulterated heart, without our selfish bias, it's easy to see that this Scripture is more than applicable to each one of our lives. When we read it with an open heart and an unadulterated heart, a lot of times we like to read it, well, that was them, that was way back then, that was thousands of years ago, it has nothing to do with me. But if we will read it with an unadulterated heart, without our selfish bias, we'll see that that Scripture is speaking to each one of us. It is applicable in our own lives today. You see, our comfort and our personal preference are more important to us today than our willingness to be slaves of and for the God of all creation. We can tell, as we talked about last week, and you'll study more as you go through this study, that how good we're doing. We can talk about how good we're doing, what we do, all the good that we do. And yet God says it's not good enough. Because it's not good enough. Because even as we studied last week, even our best, as God says, is nothing but filthy rags. It may be easy to say that we're sold out to God, but our lifestyles and our actions often speak a different message. If any part of your worldview consists of anything opposite of God's word, then you do not hold a biblical worldview. And we are called to hold a biblical worldview. You cannot pick and choose what parts of the Bible you will accept. It's not a smorgasbord. I like this, but I'm not going to touch this. I don't like that part, so I'm not going there. You can't choose which parts you want. You either believe it is God's word or it's not God's word. Now, man has been trying to twist God's word since the fall of Adam and Eve. Twisting God's word to meet our own political or personal preference. But that's not a biblical worldview. It's an anti-God worldview. Every one of us has areas in our life where we have abandoned God, as he talks about in Scripture. Every one of us has areas where we've abandoned God from time to time. It may be a different area this week than it was last year. At the close of day one in this week's study, we were asked to pray. We were asked to pray, asking God what he wants me personally, or you personally, to do to help the Bride of Christ, Central Baptist Church, to become the pure, the holy, the spotless bride that Christ will receive in all her splendor. That's what we were asked to pray for that first day, at the end of the first day, the end of the first lesson. Do you remember what God spoke to you about? Because if God spoke to you, he didn't speak to you about, you know what, that person on the fifth pew back there and the third person over, that person, no. When God speaks to us in that manner, he's speaking to me. When he speaks to you, he's not speaking about George. He's speaking about your heart and what it is. What is it that you need to do? And so we were asked to pray, God, what is it that you want me to do to help this church, the Bride of Christ here at Central Baptist Church, to be that pure, holy, spotless bride? Because the church can't be spotless if I'm filthy. The church can't be spotless if you're still holding something back from God, if you're still closing off part of your life from God. Folks, let me just say this. Do not take these daily exercises lightly. Do not skip over them. Do not look at these and say, you know what? I've got to get to work. I don't have time. If that's the case, then you need to get up 10 minutes earlier. It doesn't take but 15 to 20 minutes most of the time to get through this. Now, if God's speaking to you and you need to spend more time than that on a certain day, then allow that time. But do not take these daily exercises lightly, because it's going to affect the entire being of our church and what God wants us to do in the days and the weeks and the years to come. The opening prayer for day three was similar to this. And I'm going to put my glasses on. My eyes are getting messed up again. It says the opening prayer of day three was similar to this. It says, Lord, I want to be a person who is righteous. In fact, let's pray this. Let's just bow our heads. Let's pray this. As I pray it out loud, you pray it in your heart. Lord, I want to be a person who is righteous and complete, to be equipped for every good work. And I ask you, God, to reveal your will to me through your word and by your Holy Spirit. Show me the ways and the distances that I've departed from you. Call me back to you. Show me how to return to you so that you will return to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, if you will openly and honestly, without any reservation, open yourself up this way to God through this study, and it's nothing magical about this study. It's what we've chosen as a church to go through and do, and I've seen what it can do for a church. It's the reason I wanted us to go through it. But if you will openly and honestly, without any reservation, open yourself up this way to God in the way that type of prayer just asked you to, you can be a part of one of God's next great awakenings. It's been a long time since the earth has seen one of God's great awakenings, but we can be a part of that if we will open ourselves up without any reservation to God this way. Now, this means bowing on the knee. This means bowing to the knee, getting down on the knees, and giving complete submission to God. And we talked about last week, God, I'm going to give you everything. I'm not holding back any more closets. I'm not keeping you out of this area of my life. It means bowing the knee, giving complete submission to God. Our nation, we know, is headed down a very slippery slope. But you know, it's not because of any one particular political group. It's not because of any politics. Our nation is headed down a slippery slope because of the waywardness of believers. The waywardness of God's own people. When you read Scripture, read the Old Testament, he's not talking to the heathens. He's talking to his people and telling them, you've done this. This is where you've walked away. These are the areas where you need to come back to me. And our nation is falling down a slippery slope because of not of politics or politicians, but because of the waywardness of believers and our own abandonment of God, creating our own God. Now, the bowing of the knee, it will bring ridicule. It will. The closer you get to God, the more ridicule you'll face from people outside the church. It will bring ridicule, even from some close friends and family members. But we need to be like Daniel in the lion's den. We need to be like the three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and say, even if my God doesn't deliver me from that fire, I'm going to go anyway because I am not going to bow down to somebody else. I'm bowing down only to God. We need to be like those men that the children sang about this morning. Folks, I would rather have the consent of God than of man. I would much rather be accepted in God's eyes than to say, but I want to hear what the people, I want to hear the applause. I want people to welcome me. I want to be accepted by the people. If being accepted by the people means me going against God, I'm not doing it. And I pray that you would be the same. The ridicule of man is nowhere near comparable to the wrath of Almighty God. Let me say this. I'm not perfect. God keeps showing me that with all the stuff that's going on this year and my health and that kind of thing too. But I'm not perfect in any way. But like I said, I want to be poured out for God. And I'll confess this. I'll be vulnerable. This is the way I want you to be vulnerable in your groups. I pray regularly that I would not lose my material possessions. Those are gifts from God. Those are things that I've received from God. But I pray, God, don't let me lose those. Now, I also pray before I finish that prayer, sometimes without taking a breath, but God, I know it's your will that has to be done, not my will. I love my material possessions. I'm just like anybody else. I like the things that I've got that God has granted me and allowed me to have. But if it's God's will that they not be there when I get home tonight, I'll have to accept that. And I'll still charge on. I'll still be in Alabama tomorrow and all week this next week, serving down there. I'll serve continually. To be a living sacrifice for God means to consecrate yourself, to set yourself apart for God, regardless of what you have, whether you have plenty or whether you have nothing. To set yourself aside for God. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. That's what Daniel did. So many others that we read about in the Bible. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul speaks of consecrating yourself the book that he wrote to Romans, the church in Rome. He doesn't use the word consecrate, but he says this. He says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. It's my opinion that as believers today, as in the days of Jeremiah, in the days of Amos, in the days of the Apostle Paul, to others throughout Old Testament Scripture and New Testament Scripture, that you cannot present yourself as a living sacrifice until you first have a completely open and honest assessment. What I call a vigorous face-to-face summit with the reality of the waywardness of your life before God. You must have that vigorous. Those, when I work with churches and we talk about that, is that's a tough thing to face. But we're talking about you got to face the brutal facts. Not what you want to say. Well, God, you know, yeah, I haven't done that. I agree with that. I'll try to do better, but I'm doing good on this stuff over here. No, it means falling on my face and saying, God, I know I've not done what you want me to do in that area of my life, and moving on from there. So I believe that we need to return to God. He says he's never left us, but in that scripture, he says, if you'll return to me, I'll return to you. And perhaps what that means is, if you return to me, you won't have to worry. You'll find me, because I've been right here all along. Let's pray one last prayer. And this comes out of part of what we studied too, or part of what I wrote about what we studied there. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you purchased me for God by your sacrifice on the cross. Then the Father gave the Holy Spirit to live in me at your request. I cannot possibly thank you enough for your love and your sacrifice for me. I confess, Lord, with my tongue that you alone are my Lord and my King. I am not my own. I belong to you. So today I ask you to teach me to spiritually bow my knee in full surrender to you and your will. Lord, I hear your plea, and I do want to return to you in those areas where I may have walked away or never been to yet. Because I want you to return to me. I want you to be stronger in me than ever before. And I want you to be stronger in my church and in this church. Help me, Lord, to prepare the way for your return by removing the barriers, making all pathways straight, smooth, and demonstrating repentance through my changed life. In the precious name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to just have one more song here, a song of invitation. And this is God's invitation for you to respond to him. I'll be here. Brother Jonathan's down here. If you want to come and just share with one of us, we can pray with you. Whatever it is that God's been speaking to you about today, whether it's something that you heard in the message that the Holy Spirit shared with you, or that the children shared, and the Holy Spirit was able to speak to us through the children this morning, I pray that you would make that decision, whatever that is. You can pray right where you're at. You can come down here and pray. You can come kneel at the altar and pray. It's open, or just stand here and pray. Whatever God wants you to do, don't hold back. It all starts with that one step. And once you take that first step, God says he'll be with you every step of the way after that for the rest of your life. If there's someone here who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you don't even understand what that means. You never said, you know, I don't know where I'm going to end up when I leave this earth, whether that's this afternoon or 70 years from now. Let me tell you, you can know before you leave this place. You can know where you will spend all of eternity. And I pray that you'd come and speak to one of us during this time. Father God, I thank you so much for this hour and for this moment where we can come to you and open our hearts to you. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit's had the freedom to speak through the children this morning and the beautiful story that they were able to share and to tell with us. Your story. That's your plan of redemption. And then, Lord, as we've studied this week, those of us that have studied to return to me, and even the message this morning, the word it's as I prayed on the way in again this morning and throughout the week, Lord, that not be a word that I say, but every word that reaches their ear be a word from the Holy Spirit. So now, Lord, take that word and change our hearts. Transform us to be the people that you want us to be. May we respond exactly the way you want us to respond. If it's to come forward, just so that we are a witness and encourager to others, then just let us come forward and pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You respond as God leads you.